The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
You know, I think lately, Donald Trump has been trying to do his best impression of someone who actually respects women and likes black people. And now that Kamala Harris is the front runner and there's so much energy and momentum behind that campaign, and really excitement about someone who represents the future of the United States, a multiracial democracy, biracial people, multiracial people are the fastest growing segment of America. I think that now Donald Trump is afraid. I think he is probably losing this election, and I think he feels that. So what he's doing is he's going back to his old playbook of racism that really propelled his campaign back in 2016 when he started talking about Mexicans as rapists. And this is really just birtherism 2.0. It's clearly offensive. I do believe he went for a confrontation. I think it was a way of saying to his base, and not just any Republicans, but to the deepest part, the most racist part of that base, don't worry. We as white Americans, we still get to define race in America.
And his act is old. He's got an old act. And as Mara pointed out, he knows partially, internally, that it's old and it's not working. And now he's confronted by an opponent who has electrified the Democratic Party.
He wanted to go and say, I will stand up to these blacks. I will put them in line. That has been the basis of his campaign.
At one point, he even reached over to tighten ABC News's Rachel Scott's water bottle, which was just an expression of dominance. He couldn't help himself. It was almost as though he could not personally take the fact that these black women on stage had the platform.
He doesn't think they belong on the stage. You're black and you're a woman.
That's right.
You shouldn't be even here questioning me.
Right.
By the way, you couldn't even get the sound right. You black folks don't even know how to have. I'm late because you couldn't get the sound. Because you Negroes don't know any better.
Well, it was fun while it lasted. The narrative about them being weird. That's so Monday. It's Thursday now. And Trump is racist. Oh, yes. He's Sharpton went on to say that he said everything at that conference for journalists, black journalists yesterday, except the N-word. That's right. And then embedded into that cold open, you'll notice they said that Kamala's the front runner, that Donald Trump is afraid. Remember what I said earlier this week. They've got to sell the narrative that the race is tight. It's close. And then they hope to get across the finish line with cheating to win after another rigged election. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this good Thursday morning. There's lots and lots to get to on today's show. Of course, you can get to this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at our Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. If you go to Rumble, make sure you give us the thumbs up. I noticed yesterday's show, something like 170 thumbs up and zero thumbs down. So we're losing some of our critics, perhaps. I don't know for sure. But in any event, you've got options. You can email us as well with feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. Some of these stories that I keep getting into, they keep getting pushed to the back of the stack just because the news cycle, it's pretty crazy. I mean, we're moving into the month of August. August is supposed to be, you know, the dog days of summer. The news cycle is supposed to slow down. I don't think it will this time around. Not this year. Not when you've got an election like what we have coming up in what, 96, 97 days? 3 months. 3 months. And as I say, they're as if they haven't used this before, they're back to Trump is a racist. That Drudge has a headline, Desperate Trump Plays the Race Card. You'll hear it for yourself in just a little bit. Who's playing the race card? You heard a lot of that being played just now in the cold open. This woman, they sit down. This woman, this black female journalist, attacks Donald Trump, calls him a racist, and Trump responds by saying, you're really rude. And you set this whole thing up under false pretenses. You're the one that you've made me wait 35 minutes because you didn't have anything set up. And you know what? Unlike me at this moment, Trump was very measured. He was very calm. He was fairly soft-spoken. And we'll add to it, fairly well-received. I mean, it was a mixed bag, this group of black journalists. Again, you look at campaigns in the past and just the monolithic movement of the black community to all things Democrat. It's always been that way, or at least for as long as I can remember. And yet, look at what is happening this time around as Trump keeps peeling off one layer after another. That's really at the seat of this animosity, this hatred, this contempt. Well, that and Trump derangement syndrome. That's actually what you saw on display yesterday at that NABC or J conference. You saw it wasn't Trump going off unhinged, playing the race card. It was Trump basically exposing the severity of Trump derangement syndrome. Morning Joe going on this morning about this female journalist master class of journalism, how that she just kept coming back to the question. She was doing the work of journalism the way a journalist is supposed to do it. In fact, it was a master class that Trump put on, as I say, exposing Trump derangement syndrome. Listen to this opening question. I think this is what annoyed President Trump so much, is there were no niceties at all. There was no, you know, how's your family since the assassination attempt less than 3 weeks ago? Is everything okay? Or how have you recovered emotionally, mentally from the trauma? Think about all the questions that she could have asked. She starts out by saying, you don't belong here and you are a racist. Who is going to respond to that in a nice, well, thank you for having me. You're a wonderful journalist. Thank you for that question. Thank you for establishing that I shouldn't even be here after you invited me, after this organization invited me. And by the way, they invited Kamala too, and she chose not to go. She just takes the black vote for granted. Trump goes into the Bronx, he goes into Harlem, and now he goes into this. According to Jesse last night, the first time in 20 years that a Republican has accepted the invite. Donald Trump accepts it. I mean, this man is fearless. That's really another takeaway from this exchange. He's fearless. He has courage. He knew he was going right into the lion's den. And he handled it calmly, coolly, and collectedly. He did. Unafraid. And any other politician, as you know, they're going to go in and they're going to be pandering away, including Democrats. None of that from Trump. No, and then he calls out Kamala for, you know, celebrating her Indian heritage all along the way. As district attorney in California, as attorney general, as a senator from San Francisco heading off to D.C. all along the way. I mean, she was raised by her Indian mother since 7 years of age. That's when they divorced. Her dad's Jamaican, her mom's Indian, and she's been with her mom and her sisters for years. That was her upbringing. Okay, it's not to say she isn't half black, but as Trump correctly pointed out, well, 2 seconds ago, she was holding up her Indian heritage as, I mean, this is a breakthrough politically. But now you see it's politically expedient to emphasize the black side, just like it was with Obama back in 2008. He grew up with a white mother and white grandparents. He obviously had a strong influence coming from black Marxists and communists, Frank Marshall Davis, Jeremiah Wright. it's not even a matter of how much, what percentage is this person of this race or that race, but what Trump exposed here again. And you saw it on social media almost instantly after he said it. After he called out Kamala, that he was right. He was right. We'll get to all of that as we proceed. So this is, they shook hands at least before they sat down. Then they sat down, and then this journalist, Rachel Scott is her name. She works for ABC. Listen to this opening question, clip two.
I want to start by addressing the elephant in the room, sir. A lot of people did not think it was appropriate for you to be here today. You have pushed false claims about some of your rivals, from Nikki Haley to former President Barack Obama, saying that they were not born in the United States, which is not true. You have told four congresswomen of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from. You have used words like animal and rabid to describe black district attorneys. You've attacked black journalists, calling them a loser, saying the questions that they ask are, quote, stupid and racist. You've had dinner with a white supremacist at your Mar-a-Lago resort. So my question, sir, now that you are asking black supporters to vote for you, why should black voters trust you after you have used language like that?
What a missed opportunity just to step back for a moment and to think about the subject more seriously, like a serious journalist should. What a missed opportunity. They sit down and she looks at Trump and says, you're a liar, you're a racist, you're a white supremacist. A lot of people don't think you should be here. What do you have to say for yourself? And yet Drudge says that it's Donald Trump using the race card. It's unbelievable how strong and palpable the spirit of will worship is. And then for people to come out of, you'll hear the crowd in just a moment, for people to come out of that convention or whatever it is and say, oh, the crowd was shocked and appalled. I'm sure it was a mixed bag. There were also quite a few, you can hear it, you see it. There were quite a few that were cheering him on, that were laughing, that were applauding. Listen to Trump, his first response to this woman, clip three.
Well, first of all, I don't think I've ever been asked a question so in such a horrible manner, a first question. You don't even say, hello, how are you? Are you with ABC? Because I think they're a fake news network, a terrible network. And I think it's just...
People are hooting and hollering, as you see there. On two occasions. This is the National Association of Black Journalists. Black journalists. And you hear the crowd reacting to Donald Trump saying, you're rude, you're biased, you're with ABC, aren't you? And notice how he's responding. I mean, it's as if he's got ice in his veins. Cool and collected, as I say. Go ahead and play the entirety of that clip. Go back to the start, clip three.
Well, first of all, I don't think I've ever been asked a question so in such a horrible manner, a first question. You don't even say, hello, how are you? Are you with ABC? Because I think they're a fake news network, a terrible network. And I think it's disgraceful that I came here in good spirit. I love the black population of this country. I've done so much for the black population of this country. Including employment, including opportunity zones with Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, which is one of the greatest programs ever for black workers and black entrepreneurs. I've done so much, and you know, and I say this, historically black colleges and universities were out of money, they were stone cold broke, and I saved them and I gave them long-term financing. And nobody else was doing it. I think it's a very rude introduction. I don't know exactly why you would do something like that. And let me go a step further. I was invited here and I was told my opponent, whether it was Biden or Kamala, I was told my opponent was going to be here. It turned out my opponent isn't here. You invited me under false pretense.
Who's dishonest? Who's telling lies? You've told so many falsehoods, Donald Trump, and people don't think you should be here. You're a racist. You hang out with white supremacists. Now, why should you get the black vote? The question is their wishful thinking. How could black people actually be turning to Donald Trump? Because as he explains in his answer, he's actually helped their community. He's helped them. Now coming back to the audience reaction, here's MSNBC's, I forget her first name, Alcindor. She was there. It's all on video. You can hear the reaction with your own ears. She was there, and listen to her take on how the audience reacted. This is skip ahead to 9.
And in talking to people, you read some of the reporting that I got. I was sitting in the room and people were stunned, right? I'm going to take you a little bit behind the scenes. People were stunned. People were gasping. There were some people who were shouting back at him, saying, that's a lie.
Yeah, some people shouting back and also some people shouting for him. So there you go. This is from Grabian, a headline. Harris Faulkner, she's with Fox News. She was actually on stage. She's the gal in the red attire there, I think. Harris Faulkner insists much of that audience was enjoying Trump's wild appearance at the Black Journalism Convention. Much of the audience enjoyed it. They appreciated it. They appreciated Donald Trump giving it right back to this rude, disrespectful journalist. How rich is it for KJP, the White House spokesperson, to be calling for respect? We've got to be respecting Kamala. She's the vice president. Where's the respect for Donald Trump? You see none of it in that exchange that I just played for you. None of it. Harris Faulkner says people were actually enjoying what Donald Trump had to say. Listen to this from Donald Trump. This is, again, in the same answer. He's talking about how that he's done more for the black community than any president since Abraham Lincoln. And again, the response, it's not like it's, you know, deafening. But just listen to the way the audience at this black journalism convention, listen to how they respond to it. This is clip 14.
I have been the best president for the black population since Abraham Lincoln.
Better than President Johnson, who signed the Voting Rights Act.
For you to start off a question and answer period, especially when you're 35 minutes late because you couldn't get your equipment to work, in such a hostile manner, I think it's a disgrace.
So you judge for yourself. Maybe most of it was booing. But even if it was, for this man to walk into the lion's den and to say, listen, this is what I've done for the black community. Why are you so hostile? Why are you so combative? Why are you so contentious? Who's unhinged? Who's using the race card? This is the one that really set them off in response last night, this morning, on the morning meltdown. You saw it in the cold open. Listen to what Donald Trump has to say about Kamala Harris's heritage racially. Clip 4.
Do you believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is only on the ticket because she is a black woman?
Well, I can say no. I think it's maybe a little bit different. So I've known her a long time indirectly, not directly very much. And she was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she black?
There again, the audience, some of them laughing along. He said, I didn't know she was black years ago because all that she ever promoted was her Indian background. There was a time when that's all the regime media promoted. That too came out yesterday. He was right. Now, again, technically speaking, she's half Indian, half Jamaican, and spent the better part of her upbringing from her mother's guidance and direction, her Indian mother, that is. Listen to this from CNN. This is just from a few years ago, clip 5.
My mother, who raised me and my sister, was a proud woman. She was a brown woman. She was a woman with a heavy accent.
And her mother, Shyamala Gopalan, was also the biggest influence in Kamala Harris's life.
The answer is absolutely yes.
After the big announcement, Harris's sister wrote in a Twitter post, "You can't know who Kamala Harris is without knowing who our mother was."
But once she went there, she almost felt free. And she took part in politics. She used to bring whole series of literature, leftist literature from Karl Popper. He was a great philosopher.
In her book, Harris says, "There is no title or honor on earth I'll treasure more than to say I am Shyamala Gopalan Harris's daughter." Harris's visits to India with her mother kept her connected to her roots. Harris's maternal uncle, Gopalan Balachandran, who lives in Delhi, tells us how the senator turns to her amma, which means mother in Tamil, for guidance even after her death.
"I don't have to tell her, make your mother proud. She says, what are you telling me? Everything that I do, I ask myself, would amma approve of this?"
Kamala in Hindi means lotus flower, and is an important symbol in Indian culture, rooted deep in the bottom of the river. Very similar to Harris's Indian identity, which she wears on her sleeve.
I love how the segment, this is, she's asked to be Joe's running mate, Joe Biden, back in 2020. And the segment that CNN puts together on this, the narrator is an Indian woman. This was huge. I mean, at that time, you already had the black president in 2009. So, been there, done that. Now we need to celebrate the fact that she's Indian, the fact that she's Asian. And so they did. Listen to this. This is a cooking show with a celebrity, clip 6.
Okay, so what we're going to cook today is an Indian recipe.
Yes.
Because you are Indian.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and I don't know that everybody knows that, but I find that wherever I go and I see Indian people at the supermarket, on the street, everyone's like, Kamala Harris is Indian, right? It's like our thing we're so excited about to have you running for president.
Yeah.
So we're both Indian.
Yes.
But actually, we're both South Indian.
Yes. You look like the entire one half of my family.
Okay, thank you.
You do.
I've been telling people we're related already, so this is perfect. It's basically true. And so were you raised eating South Indian food?
South Indian food.
How dare that actress say we're both Indian? She left out the black part. In fact, going by what we heard yesterday, it should have been solely black. Because now, 4 years on, now it's just black. Indian is left out. So as to why there's this emphasis 1 year and then changes the next time, Trump comes into the building and he calls them out. He reminds them of this history. He's right. He's right. And that's what they hate so much about him. Because you don't dare question their precious narratives. He went in there yesterday and he said, this is a fake narrative. It's fake. It's all fakery. And oh, by the way, she didn't even show up and you told me that she would. He goes right into the lion's den and he calls them out calmly. He calls them out. Well, now we're on to, it's just the black. The only thing that matters now with respect to race is that Kamala's black. She's not Indian anymore. She's black. And this is how KJP, who is black, she was asked about this yesterday on the fly, and listen to how she reacts, clip 7.
As a person of color, as a black woman who is in this position that is standing before you at this podium, behind this lectern, what he just said, what you just read out to me, is repulsive, it's insulting, and no one has any right to tell someone who they are, how they identify. That is no one's right. It is someone's own decisions.
No one has any right to tell someone else how they should identify. That it's that person's decision alone. Just like the male Muslim in the Olympics right now, the boxer, he's in there boxing with women. He's punching women. And no one should dare question this. He decides what his identity is. In the case of Kamala, if she says she's Indian, she's Indian. If she says she's black, she's black. It could change, just like it changed for this boxer. I mean, this is madness. This is madness. The woman gets in there. She gets into the ring. Women, by the way, let me just get this out of the way. Boxing, MMA, all that stuff, that's not going to be in God's coming kingdom. We're not going to have those as sports for men or women. But women, boxing, period, is bad enough. Now they ask a man, no, they say, hey, if you as a man identify as a woman, we'll come right, look at the poor woman. She's crying. She's in tears. She takes one shot to the chin and says, that's enough. I'm out of here. I'm going to get killed. As I say, it's just madness. It's Sodom and Gomorrah upside down madness. It's will worship of the worst kind. So who is Trump to say Kamala's this or Kamala's that? It's Kamala who decides that, just like that male boxer. I mean, this is a sickness and a perversion. You can't even wrap your mind around it. It's so perverse. Maybe they'd leave Trump alone if he just got up and went and punched those lady journalists and then said, I'm a woman. I identify. Who are you to judge? Who are you to judge me? If I say I'm a woman, then I got offended and I just wanted to punch them. Madness. And then KJP, she finishes her statement. She's repulsed. And she talks about how Kamala needs to be respected. Clip 8.
She is the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris. We have to put some respect on her name, period.
With Trump, put him in jail if you can, and we'll try to murder him even. Yeah, he assassinate Donald Trump. But now show Kamala some respect. Please, come on. She's the Vice President. Right into the lion's den. Jesse Waters last night commented on just the courage that Donald Trump had. Like, and he showed it in the Bronx. He showed it in Harlem. He showed it during the lawfare. He speaks truth. He speaks the truth. I mean, he's like anyone. He exaggerates. We all do. Human nature exaggerates. But the blatant lying that these people with TDS get away with day in and day out. You and your people told me that Kamala was going to be here for this convention, that we'd be able to discuss policy. Notice what never gets discussed. The border, inflation, interest rates. None of that. Foreign policy, Afghanistan. First, he's weird. On Monday, Trump's weird. And now Thursday, he's a racist. That's all we're going to be getting for 3 months. Get Trump. Attack Trump. That's their strategy. Because they have nothing else to stand on. They have no platform. They don't know policies. Al Sharpton this morning, I didn't play that part of it, but he said Trump doesn't know the policies. Trump doesn't know what DEI is. Diversity, equity, inclusion. Is she a DEI hire? How dare Ted Cruz say that she, Kamala, is a DEI hire? They go on and on about DEI. We've got to get more diversity. Cheadle said that about the Secret Service. We've got to get more women in. They don't talk about the qualifications. We've got to get more women and more women and men of color into these positions. And all the better if they come from the alphabet community. We've just got to get them in. Joe Biden came in as the fake president, or he was running for it. He came in saying, I'm going to get a black woman. And he did. I guess by that point, she's black. Even if CNN said she's Indian. But anyway, he got the biracial woman. He got the black woman. And now all of a sudden to say it's a DEI hire, that's very disrespectful. She's eminently qualified, you see. She didn't get hired because of her skin, because of how she looks. She's very, very qualified. And so they're offended. clip 11. This is, maybe we can just skip on. This is the Trump rally. Again, let me just back up to Jesse's point. I kind of hopped over that and moved on. But here's what he said about Trump just showing up, you know, showing the courage to show up. Clip 10.
They say half of life is showing up. Donald Trump showed up. Kamala Harris didn't. Donald Trump didn't have to go to the National Black Journalist Convention in Chicago. What just happened could even cost him votes. But he wanted to go because, as president, he wants to work for them. Kamala not showing up is taking the black vote for granted. Trump doesn't tolerate disrespect. And as president, whether you like him or not, whether he makes you feel uncomfortable or not, that's the attitude you want in a leader. Someone who works for your vote and who doesn't allow the country to be disrespected. Might not look pretty, but it works. And his presidency proved that. Mr. Nice Guy, Joe Biden, and laughing Kamala Harris, politically correct, but cowards, won't stand up for our sovereignty or our safety. So what if Biden and Harris say all the right things and don't make you feel anxious? Country's a mess.
It is. It's a mess. And the only one who's shown anything close to cleaning it up has been Donald Trump in his first term. He's not going to solve all the problems of the United States, far from it, as we've noted so many times on this show. But he's running his campaign on policies, and he's not afraid to call them out for their lies, their fakery, their phoniness. He left that convention after like 35 minutes. And then, of course, they gang tackle him for that. You said you'd give us an hour. And he said, look, the sound system didn't work here for 35 minutes. I've given you more than an hour. I've got a rally to go to in Pennsylvania, you know, the state where they nearly assassinated me. You have any questions about the assassination? You have any questions about the unconstitutional lawfare? All of these crazy indictments, how they've tried to destroy me financially, how they've tried to ruin my businesses in New York? How that this woman can just show up out of nowhere and say, I did this to her 30 years ago? This was Trump at the rally later on last evening, clip 11.
But as we're fighting to bring back the American dream for you and your family, the radical left Democrat Party bosses have installed a puppet candidate to fight only for themselves. Kamala Harris got zero votes. She's totally scripted, owned, and controlled by the donors and the power brokers who created her campaign and who rip off our government and make billions and billions of dollars.
A puppet candidate. Interesting terms that he uses there. She's a puppet candidate. She got no votes. And everything is totally scripted. That's why she can't go to that black journalism convention. It's got to be scripted, just like it was for, you know, the basement candidate 4 years ago. PJ Media says they've been in full slay queen mode, proclaiming Madam Veep to be an unassailable juggernaut who's running roughshod over whatever momentum Donald Trump had coming out of the Republican National Convention. She's the front runner, says Mara Gay. She's the front runner now. After, when did they announce this? A week ago Sunday. So it's been 10 days, not even that, probably 9 days. Took her 5 days to get the Dear Leaders endorsement, and now she's running away with it. The will worship on display. It's mind-boggling. It makes your head spin. It's a story that's played well with the faithful, but there's precious little evidence that the Kamala show is wowing the undecided flyover country voters. The flying monkeys in the mainstream media have been coddling Harris. Harris has yet to face an interview. That's right. Tough girl Kamala doesn't have the guts to field a bunch of softballs from the likes of George Stephanopoulos or even Rachel Maddow. So brave. Harris has also been appearing in fairly safe, mostly blue parts of the country. The Kamala Harris honeymoon momentum has been nothing more than timid, well-choreographed political theater It's the 2020 basement campaign, but with more trips outside. Just a few more trips outside. Go down to Atlanta, bring in the celebrity musicians and singers so you can fill up the arena, and then just speak for 15 minutes. You can't go for an hour and a half, no. And you certainly can't go off script. And you don't go to the Black Journalist Convention. You stay away from Donald Trump. At some point, I mean, she's going to have to come out and actually debate and actually talk about the issues. Well, as I said yesterday, all that they need to accomplish here is to make sure you know that the race is so close, she's even the front runner, that the cheating will get them across the finish line in first place. The Federalist says here, a complaint filed simultaneously with the Georgia Secretary of State and with the State Election Board and obtained exclusively by the Federalist reveals tens of thousands of potentially illegal votes were cast in the 2022 midterm election. Tens of thousands. Just less than 2 years ago, Georgia, all of this cheating in 2020 and all of these Republicans in charge at the state house, the governor, the election officials, Gabe Sterling, Raffensperger. Remember these guys? Remember Jeff Duncan? He's no longer in power. All of these Republicans, they still haven't cleaned up the rolls. They still haven't removed the dead people from off the voting rolls. It says here, this revelation comes after the Georgia Secretary of State ignored a similar complaint, highlighting evidence indicating that nearly 35,000 potentially illegal votes may have been included in the final tally, certifying Joe Biden as the state winner by 11,700 votes. And now, with just 4 months until November, the general election, the state's refusal to address the problem ensures chaos will ensue unless there is a complete blowout by one of the candidates, and this is what Donald Trump's calling for. I don't know how wise it is to rely on this alone, because these are cheaters that do it on a mass scale, and they're good at it, and they do it every election cycle, and the rhinos never clean it up. The rhinos never fix the problem. All you need are 11,000 extra votes, 11,000 more than Donald Trump brings in. And they can manufacture tens of thousands and thousands of fake ballots to go along with their fake scripted campaigns, to go along with their fake and phony narratives, to go along with all the fake news. Look at this. This is also from Georgia. I forget the name of this this outfit, but it speaks for itself. Clip 13.
We come from a company that is dedicated to registering Hispanic people so they can vote in upcoming elections. Are you already registered? We already voted. You already voted? Yes. Are you a citizen or?
No.
Have you already been registered or?
Yeah.
Are you a citizen or?
No.
Have you already been registered at work? Yes, we have. You've already been registered? Are you a citizen or not a citizen?
No.
The apartment complex Elliott Norcross in Norcross, Georgia, is occupied primarily by non-citizens. We visited the complex to ask residents two questions. Are you a citizen and are you registered to vote? Shockingly, 14% of respondents admitted to being non-citizens registered to vote.
14%. Not citizens, but they've registered to vote. You can see why. They don't want any voter ID, nothing, no trail that would lead back to their official citizens of the U.S. Just let them vote. And you see why, too, that the border's wide open. These are Democrat voters. That's what Schumer and company are banking on. That's what Joe Obama's banking on. Get them into the country, spread them all over the country, make sure you get enough in those red states as well, the swing states, so that we can rig it. And then these cowards, these Republican cowards that refuse to fix what's broken, they just won't do it. They won't do it at the border. They won't do it with the voting rolls. lawless, corrupt individuals. Think of the missed opportunity that ABC reporter. She's got Donald Trump there for 35 minutes. Think about if she was really interested in policy as opposed to a tweet or what he's said or who he's met with at Mar-a-Lago. I mentioned this story a while back. I keep meaning to get to it. It's probably not even actually in my notes because I print off just what I need every day. But it's I believe it's the New York Times. An in-depth investigation into the people visiting Mar-a-Lago. Mar-a-Lago's in Palm Beach, Florida. And they have monitored not just who goes in there, how many times. Carrie Lake's been there 3 times. General Mike Flynn, he's been there 4 times. This is dangerous. I've been there 1 time. I'm probably on the list now, too. Look, they're following everybody going in and out of Mar-a-Lago because that's dangerous. You're meeting with Donald Trump, you see. You heard the reporter say that to Donald Trump. You met with so-and-so at Mar-a-Lago. Why should the blacks deserve your vote or vice versa? And think about it for a second. The dear leader, Barack Obama, he's been living down the street from the White House. He's like a mile away. Has been since 2017, since he left his second term. Have you ever seen or heard about a story of people going in and out of Barack Hussein Obama's house? He's the traitor. He's the one who's fundamentally transforming the United States. You don't hear a peep. You don't hear any reporting whatsoever. But there's that ABC reporter. He sits down. There's no pleasantries. She just launches right into, I understand you've met with so-and-so at Mar-a-Lago. And our audience should know he's a white supremacist. So why should you even be here, Donald Trump? That's the spirit. That's the tone. That's the race card. That's the rage, the pent-up rage. You have an objective take on an exchange like that, and you know right away who's unhinged, who's boiling over with rage, who's coming in with rudeness and hatred, among other things. So obvious. So here in Georgia, you think Trump's going to win Georgia? We'll see. It's got to be too big to rig. That's what Trump keeps saying. But boy, some of these reports, it doesn't look so good. We know from the Bible it says that he's going to have to war to recover what's his. We know, too, that he received some support from the Supreme Court. I covered that with you earlier this week as well, all of it. Is discussed, everything I'm mentioning right here, all of it's discussed in this book, America Under Attack. If you don't have a copy of this, jot down that 800 number you see at the bottom of your screen. And if you're in the U.S., Canada, the Caribbean, you can call that number. Or if you're outside that area, you can certainly go to our website, thetrumpet.com, to order a free copy of America Under Attack. We've got regional offices all over the world. And we'll be happy to send you a free copy of that book wherever you live. No cost, no obligation. This is from Mediaite. CNN data guru Henry Inton explained Wednesday that current polling now indicates that the 2024 election may see an all-time high in voter participation. That's got to be part of the narrative, too. It's a neck-and-neck race. It's a tight race. And also, there's going to be an all-time high with respect to voters. I mean, it's possible that Kamala could get up to 85, maybe 90 million, maybe 100 million. Maybe she'll have to in order to squeak by Donald Trump. They gave Joe Biden almost 82 million votes, the most in U.S. history. And now he's just virtually disappeared. The most popular man, judging by the ballots, the most popular president in history. We're looking at a potentially much lower turnout this time around. Well, Inton began noting the initial interest. So this is who is almost certain to vote in the election. You look post-debate 2024. Look at that. Well, it's quoting Inton, I guess, one of his recent segments. I suppose I should have just gotten it. But the voter turnout's got to be up there. And, of course, we've got to know going in it's going to be a tight race. And then there's some states already saying, Pennsylvania's already saying, yeah, we're probably not going to be able to count everything on election day. We'll have to keep count, just like we did in 2020. But look, nothing. I mean, I know Biden came back and surpassed, I think, something like 800,000 votes in those final days. But look, that's completely normal. When the trailers and the trucks start rolling in with all of those additional ballots, and they're all for Biden, this is normal. This is perfectly normal. Here's the Washington Post on that, the state of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, one of the most hotly contested battleground states, is one of only seven states, including another battleground, Wisconsin, that does not allow pre-canvassing, the act of opening and processing mail ballots ahead of Election Day. It says in 2020, 27 states allowed pre-canvassing. Since then, 16 more states have passed laws permitting it, but not Pennsylvania. So most states, they count them as they come in, and then they count all the ones on Election Day, and then there you have it. Pennsylvania is one of the few holdouts. We can't start counting until the Election Tuesday. And then, just so you know, I mean, it's not like any other Israelite nation, you know, the UK or France or whoever. It takes us days and days and days to count all these ballots. You see why Bill Barr got so hot under the collar with Wolf Blitzer back in, what was it, September 2020, when he said, you introduce all of these mail-in ballots, you introduce all of these, you know, COVID specials, and it just opens the door for cheating on a mass scale. And there's examples of this all over the world. We just saw it in Venezuela, as I covered with you earlier in the week. There's another story here from Red State. I mean, you get to some honest reporting, and they'll tell you this narrative that Kamala's the front runner, that she's electrified and energized the Democratic Party. It's a fake narrative. Surprise, surprise. Red State says, say, whose honeymoon is this anyway? Supposedly, Kamala Harris has totally upended the race with the anointment and the media's rush to proclaim the advent of Kamalot. Also, Donald Trump only has a ceiling in the mid-40s and can't possibly win an outright popular vote majority, especially with such a historic candidate as an opponent. It says, or so analysts thought. According to a new Harvard-Harris poll, Donald Trump leads Kamala Harris 52-48 with leaners and 48-45 without. Harris has improved Joe Biden's numbers on the latter, but not on the former. So there's not, as it happens, there's not a lot of excitement or enthusiasm for Kamalot. All these other stories, by the way, Richard Palmer is doing a great job of staying right on it with the morning brief. The hostage exchange, you might remember, U.S. got some of these hostages, I think two at least, from Russia. You might remember at the debate when the fake president had the malfunction, the brain malfunction, that Donald Trump said there, when I get back in, I'm going to get those hostages back. You have to wonder if Putin and others are beginning to think, okay, he's probably coming back. We better get what we can now from this administration, because we can get more from Joe Obama. You've seen that over the past 4 years. These lopsided prisoner swaps. We got the female basketball player from Russia in exchange for the butcher. How about that one? The Biden administration has agreed to a prisoner exchange with Russia and is expected to soon secure the release of three American citizens imprisoned in Russia. So it goes through that. And I won't take the time to cover all the other details, just to give me a couple minutes for something Richard touches on in the brief. A lot of news today, he says, is about terrorists. Our main story is a more detailed look at the assassination of Ismail Haniyeh. And Israel revealed today that another key Hamas leader, Mohammed Deif, also was killed. So they've assassinated Haniyeh. He's the head of Hamas, and he was in Tehran. And Israel took him out with a missile strike. The Middle East is about to explode. There's no slowing down, Benjamin Netanyahu. October 7, as far as he's concerned, it's fresh on his mind. And he's going after terrorists in Lebanon. He's done it in Iran. Obviously, it's in Gaza. Hezbollah confirms that a top commander was killed in Israeli strike in Beirut. Meanwhile, switching back to Richard's brief, meanwhile, 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed will not be dying, or at least be put to death, after reaching a plea deal. Think about this for a moment. Reaching a plea deal that removes the possibility of the death penalty. More than two decades after 9/11, this terrorist is still awaiting trial. In contrast, key Nazis were tried and executed from 1945 to 46. The long process is another sign that something has gone wrong with modern America's will to confront evil. They're coming up with plea deals for the 9/11 mastermind, of all things. After all these years, no trial. Now he's not going to be sentenced to death. Certainly not. We've got to have compassion. We can't give someone the death sentence. Now you listen to these same people, these bleeding heart liberals, when they talk about the January 6th protesters. The grandmother who went off to jail, they couldn't give her any cancer treatment either because she took a selfie. She took a selfie at the Capitol. The thinking, you can tell these people hate America. They hate America. They want to help America's enemies. See it all over the world. They want to help America's enemies, and they want to destroy their political opponents here at home. That's the agenda. That's the agenda. And you see the agenda on full display coming from the regime media. There's a few exceptions, but it happens. I mean, you see it immediately. As soon as they sit down, now let's talk about the elephant in the room. In her mind, the elephant in the room is that Trump is a white supremacist. Why are you here? Now, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, what do you think she would ask him? If she were sitting across the stage from him, what would she ask Khalid Sheikh? Why did you murder Americans? That's racist. What does it say about your religion? You think she'd say anything like that? Of course not. This is not the way they roll. TDS, full display. Back to the Associated Press. Hamas's top political leader was killed Wednesday by a pre-dawn airstrike in the Iranian capital of Iran. Another one here, Times of Israel. Unconfirmed reports in Syria say an explosion occurred a short while ago in Damascus. Damascus. Images circulating online show a cloud of smoke rising from the area. So as the world barrels ahead toward world war, that's what's coming. You see the United States pushing ahead toward civil war as well. And all of this, of course, aligns with Bible prophecy, with what the prophet Ezekiel told us, with what Jesus said in the Olivet Prophecy, Matthew 24, Luke 21. That's all we have time for, unfortunately. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.